Have you ever wondered how it is that out of some terrible tragedy, some horrific event, good things come? A natural disaster occurs. And out of nowhere, it seems, all these people flood in to help, bringing aid and sustenance. A loved one dies, but not from some disease or dangerous occupation, but because of some faithful act of some other individual. And in place of sorrow comes forgiveness. In our Lenten travel, we have come to an event that is beyond our modern comprehension. Somebody is brought to trial with a false accusation. He is tortured. He is cruelly treated. He is ridiculed and hated. Nails are driven into his flesh and he is left to die. Even the most hardened heart would see death by crucifixion as something mean. But that death brings life and life eternal. This is the character of the cross. This is a matter of God's love, a holy love that surpasses all love, a sacrificial love that is carried out willingly by His Son, a love that others really don't deserve and many don't love. Prophet Jeremiah is carrying a message to the people of God, to Israel, for a variety of reasons, most of which have to do with their sin against God. He brings words of condemnation to them, especially those who carry this responsibility to lead others according to righteousness, to be servants of the people on behalf of the God who serves them. In the course of repeated calls for revenge, this same prophet lights the path for the promise. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live safely. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. That's part of the text for this Lenten evening. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours. In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I invite you to join me in prayer. Father of all creation, it was for love that you promised the Savior. It was for love that you sent Jesus to this dark and dying world. It is love that drew him to the cross and called him to death. It is love that called him out of the grave. And for this we give you praise and glory and honor in Christ Jesus. Amen. The lack of love prevailed in Jeremiah's day. It manifested itself in the word and ways of the priest and the shepherd of God's people who had long set aside the true worship. And the mandate to have no other God, to walk according to a decree that says you should love your neighbor, has all been put away. And rather than preserving and gathering the flock of God, as Jeremiah nails them, you have destroyed and scattered them, he says, by your failure to lead righteously. This is so severe that God has to bring a promise to them that they should already have known. He has to repeat it to them, that ultimately some of them would come into place as these liars and destroyers, and he will be a true shepherd to the people. The day comes, and Jesus arrives and does what he is called to do, the good work, the act of righteousness done out of divine love. He gives himself up to death, even death on the cross. We are told in Scripture that no greater love has a man than he would give his life up for another. And he does it not because the other person deserves it. Not because the other person even expects or desires it. But because the Father has deemed it right, according to his undeserved love for those lost people. This is the grace that is not of this world, that is a strange thing to the mind of man. Does love drive our daily life? Oh, I'm not talking about you love your family enough that you go get a job and make money so you can put food on the table. Not that love. Not the love that's given because someone gave it to you first. Not the love that is based on selfish pride and looks for some benefit in return. This is the love that is the character of one who knows about Jesus on the cross. A love that is holy and right. A love that knows of a God who is selfless, who pours himself out with concern for those who would receive it, and even for those who would rather not have it. This is how God's love works. We need only look to the cross to see its meaning and its result. The love of the cross gives a holy character that otherwise would not come to pass, not without the love of God through his Son Jesus. Paul, in his dealings with the people in the church of Corinth, struggled with them. They were a troubled lot. They had difficulty understanding love beyond their own small minds. Paul put it this way in contrast. He says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man. Because of him, you are in Christ. The one who has become wisdom from God, the one who is our righteousness. It's quite a picture to consider what God has done from a person's point of view. That God is doing something that to the world is just foolish. God lacks strength to go about, and that's our presumption, to go about solving problems because we think we can do it ourselves. We think we can deal with the problem of sin, with the problem of death and the evil one and his onslaught. We think we're strong enough and wise enough. But when Christ went to the cross, it was considered a scandalous thing, a terrible thing. To have a man die by way of crucifixion, a form of execution reserved for the dregs of society, for the no-account losers, for the scum of the earth, those are the ones who went to the cross. But to have this happen to an innocent man, who in truth is the Son of God, how horrible it must be. And some would think that God is being foolish here. How is he going to accomplish anything by putting his Son to death? God should be showing his power and his glory. And when the people of Israel harken back into their history, they see that kind of thing. When the people spun up against the Red Sea, and the Lord breathes on the water and opens it up and leaves right hand with the cross. And the enemy pursues them. And the Lord lets the water go. And this great flood, the tsunami, wipes them out. That's the way God ought to be dealing with these problems of sin and death and Satan, with power, with all kinds of great strength and retribution. Wise and strong. Maybe that's what's going through the minds of these people who stand at the base of the cross and ridicule a man dying, who cluck their tongues at him and lodge insults toward this tortured form, unrecognizable as a man. Do they see love being played out on the street? Even the disciples are clear. Just what this is all about. What is going on here? And it isn't until Jesus rises from the grave, comes into their midst, and gives to them the understanding and wisdom that comes by the Holy Spirit, that they finally figure it out. That this holy character of love is why Jesus went and did what he did. He projects this love image. He tells his followers about how he came from heaven not to do what he wanted, but to do what the Father's will was. This is the will of the Father, the one who sent me, he says, that I would lose none of all that he has given me, but I would raise them up on the last day, for my Father will, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, not because we ought to have it, but because of the love of God and his Son. But today, people still consider it foolish, not particularly wise, weak, and even worthless. If that were not the case, there would be standing room only in every worship service, in every Christian church, all over the world. When sin rules the heart and soul, we operate on an agenda that is based on our own selfish desire and pride. We work and obey what we call the good. We even end up calling God our enemy. There is no holy character of love in the cross in those kinds of people. We would be more than comfortable with the leaders of Jeremiah's day, who have thrown all righteousness to the wind, who reject the call of the prophets to repent and scoff at the promise, the righteous one. It's coming. Blindness is not a matter that you can't see what's going on. It's a case of not wanting to open your eyes. What would the outcome of a Lenten journey be for us? When we go on to the events of the next coming week, Holy Week, and end up with Good Friday as just one more event, just another turn of the season, maybe think a little bit about Easter, but totally miss the point of an undeserved love. We take to heart the matter of being of Christ, being those who have his love in us that shines in the dark world. But some Easter morning is just another exercise in having the family get together and being able to buy a new pair of shoes or a suit or a dress. And having a great feast in the afternoon. And maybe think about some leisure event to follow. We walk a path that is dark, but there is a light that shows the way. And may the love of God permeate us to the point of making our character one of holy love. Because the cross of Christ leads the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.